Good afternoon, and welcome to my presentation on How Maps Lie, the Spatial Patterns of Air Sensors. I'm Harrison DeFord. I was mentored by Dr. Dylan Mahmoudi, both of us from the UMBC's Department of Geography and Environmental Systems. And happy Earth Day. To get started, let me talk a little bit about what the overarching question of my research is and why it's important. So the EPA has an air quality system. You may have seen some of their maps before. And you may have heard of the Air Quality Index, which is a metric that the EPA uses to describe the air quality in a given location at a certain point. However, their air quality system is a widely distributed network. It's across the nation. It's loosely based on population density. So there are fewer sensors in the Midwest where there are fewer people, and then they're more highly concentrated along the coasts and where there are more people. However, these sensors are so spread out and they're so expensive that it's hard to get very specific readings for very close areas, very local areas, because they can't afford to put them in a lot of places. So the thinking was that if you can only get widespread forecasts, not really point data and not really local data for very specific pollutant-releasing structures, why or who is disadvantaged by that characteristic of this network. So companies like Purple Air, which is a citizen science sensor company, have released air quality sensors that you can buy for about $200 at the cheapest, up to $300 or $400, depending on the features you'd like, that give a much more localized, much more granular, much higher resolution look at the data of the air quality around you. Obviously, a $200 price tag is going to be a barrier for entry for some minority communities, lower income communities, both racial and income based. So several studies, you can see them in my references, have found that people who are racial minorities are more commonly found in lower income areas, and these lower income areas are typically more concentrated around industry and commercial areas. This begs the question, who is not being represented by the EPA's system, their air quality system? Who is not being represented by Purple Air's system, and what metrics can we use to quantify this inequality across space in relation to localized air quality data? Though a lot of my analysis probably could have been done in traditional GIS software with a graphical interface like ArcGIS or QGIS, the majority of the data manipulation was done in R. Making liberal use of the dplyr package, pipe operators, and API packages. The first API package that I used was a simple curl package, HTTR, which was used to query Purple Air's REST API endpoint and could really be used to query any REST API on the internet. And the second package I used was the Tidy Census package by Kyle Walker, specifically designed to query the U.S. Census Bureau's API endpoint, and wrap it up into a more readable format and a format that can be used in the tidyverse in R very easily. So you can see from Purple Air's API requested latitude, longitude variables, location data, the type of sensor, whether it's an indoor or outdoor sensor, and the unique sensor identifier, the sensor ID. And this will come in handy in my next operation. Table 2 demonstrates the summary variables that I calculated based on Census Bureau data. I collected way more than I have in this table, so I'm not going to list them all, but the summaries basically come out to the count of white people in each tract, the percentage or the count of people who aren't white in each census tract, the median household income for each tract, and the percentage of people per tract who aren't white for the nation. So after I've collected these variables for every census tract in the nation, something like 75,000 tracts, I performed a spatial join, which basically joins the attributes of one feature to the attributes of another feature that it lies within. In this case, I joined the features, the location data of the Purple Air sensors to the socioeconomic data that I grabbed from the Census Bureau. After I joined the characteristics of the sensors to the characteristics of the tracts, I performed a nearest neighbor analysis using a package called NNGO in R, which allowed me to see the nearest sensor and therefore the attributes of the tract that sensor lied within compared to the tract that I was interested in, which I'll call the home tract, the tract in which the sensor resides, is called the reference tract. So once I had the socioeconomic variables, the four that I collected earlier that I mentioned, I was able to compare the reference track and the home tracks data in order to see a difference and try and quantify some different kinds of inequality. After I compared the median household income and the percentage of BIPOC individuals, non-white individuals, for the tracts, I visualized them in QGIS, and you can see the two maps that I output in the results section of my poster. So the first map, the one on top, is the difference in median household income for each tract. So the tract that's being compared to the home tract is going to be the one that's colored. And you can see that we've got a lot of red on our first map, which means that a lot of these tracts are poorer than the areas, the tracts in which their nearest sensor is located, which makes sense because the $200 barrier to entry is pretty significant for a lot of lower income communities. This is really clear in the Southeast, Alabama, Mississippi, etc., Panhandle of Florida, where some of the most economically deprived communities in the country are located. Looking at our percentage BIPOC map, our percentage of racial minority communities, we can see maybe an even more telling phenomenon where most of the map is red, again, particularly in the American Southeast and in the Midwest. This means that communities in these tracts are significantly less white than the tracts in which their nearest air quality sensor is located, demonstrating a racial barrier to air quality data as well as a financial barrier. Though I have yet to carry out any quantitative statistical analysis on this data that I've collected, it is pretty telling that these maps are so predominantly red. Something else interesting, ideally, if everybody was equally represented by their nearest sensor, the entire map would be white, because that would mean that there's zero difference in either household income or in the racial makeup of the people who live there. And this is pretty apparent on the West Coast, where there's a lot of white tracts, a lot of white area. And that's because out on the West Coast, there's a lot of people, say, in Silicon Valley or similar areas. They're in the tech field, which means, first of all, they have higher paying salaries. And second of all, they're more interested in data collection and are able to manipulate data that they collect on their own more easily. Again, the purpose of this research was mostly a proof of concept that tract level data could be pulled in R for the entire nation, and that there is a difference in representation, both racial and income-wise, in air quality data. The statistical analysis is beyond the scope of this project, but the scripts that I've made are available and are able to be used in order to carry out personal projects or other statistical analysis. I'd like to thank Dr. Mahmoudi for working with me on this project and for providing guidance throughout writing the code. And I'd like to thank the hosts of the Earth Day Symposium for allowing me to come on and present my research and my work today at this poster presentation.